Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right. Well, we get into my long odyssey with Florida, five shows, and just how drunk Mark Garagus got. And we go over it in painstaking detail. News after that. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Holidays feel like a never-ending to-do list. Shopping online can expose personal info, and not all websites are on the nice list. Get LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. This holiday season, you can miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit and bank statements alone. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your info is being used in their network, they'll send you an alert, so protect yourself. And if you become a victim of identity theft, LifeLock can help restore your identity easier than you can do on your own. Let's get some LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you feel protected this holiday season. The best sale of the year is happening now. Save up to 30% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's 30% off at LifeLock.com, promo code Adam. Sale ends November 30th.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's a brand new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month, we've got Tierra Oso Custom Corolla Coasters. Perfect for a cold glass of Mangria or an endless rant. A few bags of Chunk Nibbles gourmet snacks to gain that holiday weight before you gain that holiday weight. A pack of offensive crayons with colors like White Privilege and Boner Pill Blue. A travel clean kit to keep your shit clean when sitting next to the Bojangles eater on the airplane. And don't forget, a bottle of your choice. Head to CorollaDrinks.com today and get this $60 value for only $25. Prep your mail's box. Adam's Monthly Nut is on the way. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a live Q&A on the Stereo app, with Adam and his famous cranberry sauce recipe. And now, still shaking off his hangover from the Don Julio in West Palm, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on a choice, but again, on mandate, get it on. And welcome to the last show before Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Gina Grad over there.
Hello.
And Bald Brian. I got some stories from the road. First, I'll tell you the road. So here was my wacky Florida schedule. I had an 8:20 flight out of LAX, and that would be Friday morning. So I left for the airport about 6:30 on Friday morning. And we landed
kind of
there.
Close, right? Because your first show was at 7:30.
Are you new here? Is this?
Yeah, I'm merely observing. I'm merely staying.
Well, they don't have too many to. I think we flew the first flight to West Palm Beach actually on JetBlue. So I think that's what they said. Anyway. We landed about 4:30 and got waited around, got the rental car and drove to the hotel, checked in. and got to the hotel about 5, 5:30, something like that. First show, 7:30. Late show was 10 p.m. So it's a fairly busy day there. Then Saturday, that's where the fun really began. Saturday was 4 p.m. Reasonable Doubt. We did a live show there from the Improv. Then, of course, ACS Live, you guys were there for. And then 9:30, stand-up show, Unprepared, after that. Sunday morning, had to meet out in the lobby at about 7:45 to take Mike August, who had a 10:30 flight out of Miami. Chris and I had to drive him in the rental car, drop him off in Miami. And
how far was that drive?
I think, I'll look at Chris. It was about an hour, maybe. It was somewhere around an hour, a little under an hour, as I recall.
I could be wrong, but isn't it an hour in the wrong direction? It's not on
no,
the way,
no,
right?
We were heading to the Florida Keys, and I don't even know where we ended up, but I then ended up at a hotel somewhere around the Florida Keys where Rob's wedding was. I ended up there Rob from the shop. Uh-huh. I ended up there about 4 p.m. Then Chris came and picked me up about 5, went to the wedding, hung at the wedding, Ubered back to the hotel I was staying in, and I was informed that because we had an 8:30 flight out of Miami, that Chris was going to need to pick me up at 5:50.
Yeah, that's rough.
And drive to Miami and drop off the rental car and then take all the check bags and all that junk and get them back to L.A. for a 5.5-hour coach flight. I was thinking about Brian because...
Oh, please.
I had said, all right, I'll take the coach ticket, but give me the bulkhead or give me the coach plus or whatever.
Bingo.
But what they don't really tell you is there's bulkhead and then there's bulkhead. There's a kind of a bulkhead where you have a ton of leg room and there's nothing in front of you.
Sometimes there's a thing protruding into your knees.
Your knees are right up against the wall.
What they didn't tell you about this bulkhead is the flight attendant from first class had her jump seat directly in front of me, facing my way.
Teammate.
So I
facing you, facing
like the old me. Southwest.
Also, it's like they're so crazy about the masks, and I'm trying to take my little traveler out and pour myself a cocktail, and she's just staring at me. Literally, there's no seats in front of us. I have the wide open leg room, but the wide open leg room leads to her jump seat, and her legs are, she's tall.
You need a knee with a hall monitor.
Yeah, he's got his feet crossed in her crotch.
So I'm like, what the fuck kind of coach plus is this? I'm staring up the crotch of this flight attendant, and her legs are extending to the point where if I extend my legs past the row of chairs, which is to the side of me, not to the front of me, I'm on the bulkhead, I can't extend them past what I would have extended them if I was sitting in a seat because my feet will hit her feet. So now she didn't sit in it the whole flight, but from the time you start taxiing to the time you get up to level off, it's 45 minutes of her just sitting there staring at you. So it wasn't exactly the bulkhead experience. I've never experienced a bulkhead with the jumper seat that faces me, but God bless. Now we got to get to Mark Garagus's drink.
Whoa. Now, that next show that he's on is going to be an intervention.
I'm talking on Twitter today.
I talked to him. I called him from the wedding, and I have never laughed so goddamn hard in my life because Mark and I started on Reasonable Doubt. And during Reasonable Doubt, people sent up shots. That was 4 in the afternoon. We did, and I will be completely accurate with this tally. We did 3 shots of tequila during the hour-long Reasonable Doubt. Then Mike, Mark, and I, who had about an hour and a half to kill, walked back to the hotel. went upstairs to the pool bar, the up rooftop pool bar.
Nice.
And had ourselves some more cocktails. Now, Mark had two shots of tequila. He was looking for the Don Julio. They had something. Our waitress was some sort of tequila aficionado.
She was the Sherpa, the tequila Sherpa.
Yes.
She was the temptress.
So she said, I got something better than Don Julio. We're out of Don Julio. So she came up with something better than Don Julio. And I ordered a martini. So in that time period, Mark did two more, I'd say, not shots heavy out pour. Of a shot glass, a heavy pour, two more heavy pour sort of tequilas, sipping tequilas, which he fired down. I drank my martini, which is maybe a little less than what he drank, but not really. So we both then drank. So now we're both at about five shots of tequila at this particular time plus. We then walk back to the venue. We then go out on stage. And I'll tell you a sidebar, which is which is good, which is all you need to know about being drunk. At the hotel bar, before we made our way back to the venue, Mark ordered a hamburger protein style. And the waitress, being 24, said, what's that mean? And he said, everything but the bun. Just give me everything but the bun. And, of course, they always do this, too, which they never really do the math on, which is you go, give me the burger protein style. And they go, okay. And then they give you the burger protein style with a big heaping side of fries that are always on the plate.
Because
they never
do the math.
It just comes with fries. Like, I've had conversations where I'm like, give me the burger protein style, just the patty, and no fries. And they go, okay. And then you sit there and get drunk, and then they drop it off, and it has a big thing of fries, and inevitably you eat the fries. That's how it worked. But Mike and I ate the fries, and Mark dutifully ate the burger protein style. So then we went out, and we walked back to the club, and then we got up on stage, and that's where Awesome Dawson came into play. And people were bringing, I think we brought a bottle of Don. I think Mark brought a bottle of Don Julio up on stage. I can't remember if people were sending him over, but we studied the game film, and Mark did at least five shots of Don Julio during ACS. So that would get his total up to 10 or 10 plus, because he was pouring those shots up on stage.
I'd be in the hospital.
Yeah, he held it well.
He was at 10 shots plus of tequila. I was at 10 shots plus of tequila, too, because every time he poured himself a drink, he poured me a drink and handed me a drink. So now we're both 10 shots in, and we wrap the show. I actually dismiss him 20 minutes early, and I say goodbye to you guys, and I do Adam Carolla's Unprepared for the last 20 or 25 minutes. I think it went pretty well, actually. Then I walk off of stage. I walk into the green room, and Mark is finishing a large quesadilla, not protein style.
Far from it.
And has these novelty pretzel buns, just these logs of pretzel dough material that he's dipping into the cheese sauce. So
corner of the broken bottle of Don Julio saying, come get some.
The whole protein style hamburger that was six shots ago, it's all out the window.
Yeah.
So now he is now finished off a plate of quesadillas and in a nice drunken move, had peeled the glazed pretzel outer off of the pretzel bun and was just using his fingernails to peel the sort of gold-colored part off but leave the white, milky center. I don't know if that was a flavor thing or it was part of his low-calorie intake.
Yeah. I know. In for a penny, in for a pound, Mark.
So he did that. And then he either yacked or went to the bathroom and came back and then passed out. But he passed out on his hand. Like he propped his head up with his palm, you know, and slumped over onto the sofa. He then snored like a maniac back there.
Mike August was yelling at him to keep it together, man.
Me, Mike, and the opening act, we sat there with Chris and we watched college football silently.
Yeah.
While Mark just filled the room with sound. Filled it. And how hard was he snoring?
It was louder than any of us speaking, but none of us really addressed it. We just kept having a conversation underneath all of the snoring.
Right. Wow. And then at some point, it became 10 o'clock, and it was time for me to answer the bell. So I got up, and I went back out and did a 70-minute stand-up show.
Jesus.
When I came back, Mark was nowhere to be found, and nobody knows where he went or what happened to him.
So Mark was, while you were on stage, Mark was kind of coming to, and he wakes up. He has pretzel bits all over the collar of his shirt and his neckline. There's just pretzel remnants all over the table. I mean, yeah, it looked like a murder scene. And then as he starts waking up, Mike August proceeds to just ask him about the Harvey Weinstein case, which Mark just starts answering. And then they just have a conversation about Harvey Weinstein. And then
he just stumbled off into the night?
Well, so they're talking to each other. I leave to go check out some of the show and then come back in the green room. And nobody's in there. And then Mike August walks in. I go, oh, did you help Mark get home? And he goes, I thought he was with you.
Oh, my God.
So Mark just disappeared.
Maybe he made it to Big Boy.
So he literally just staggered out of the club and found his way back to the hotel, which was not a short walk. It was a good 20 minutes at a brisk clip.
Do we have confirmation that he found his way back to the hotel? Are you assuming found his way back to the hotel?
We do, because he sent me a text the following day when I was at the wedding that said, how the fuck did you do that third show? And I went, I don't know, man. You know, duty calls. And he's like, holy shit. You drank the same amount as me, and I was so fucked up, I couldn't even stand up. How the fuck did you go do that? And I was like, I'm a pro, Mark. And he was laughing maniacally, just going, Jesus Christ. I didn't think I could get any more respect for you, Ace Man. But he was Mark, because he knows the condition he was in when the second show ended. And he knows I was in about, I mean, I'd certainly consumed the same amount that he had consumed. So
I was going to say, I didn't want him to come off his ass, Kessie, but as long as it's being thrown out there, I did not have an inkling that you were drunk, let alone had drank as much as Mark during the show we were on, because Mark was, what's the word, animated?
Yes.
Mark, maybe
gregarious.
You were in the gregarious.
Yep.
You were in the shadow of Mark, perhaps, or whatever it was. It never came off that way.
Well, thank you. I obviously had my buzz on.
It's not a compliment, you pussy.
I had my buzz going because I drank the same amount of tequila as Mark did. I was simply, I don't know, probably more used to just being up on stage in that condition. Yeah. But for him, the real feat was the third show. He just couldn't imagine.
Let's give you 10 shots and get you in front of a jury and see how you do. You get your client off.
It's a good point.
At what point did you, because I remember at the beginning of the show when we came out, you were kind of trying to, like, you know, make a through line and do your thing that people come to expect. And at some point that was not an option with Mark on stage. At what point did you say to yourself, you know what, let's just let this happen?
You know, it's like you can't really be a cat wrangler up there. You have to try doing what you're doing. And when you realize Mark's Mark, Mark's an alpha, Mark's in the shape Mark's in. And at that point, I was just like, fuck it. Mark's going to do what Mark's going to do. We have some audio of him snoring, perhaps. We'll play
a little
clip of that.
Holy shit.
All right, you get the idea.
That sounds otherworldly. Yeah.
That was a special effect.
No better way to chill out between the second and third show than to have insane snoring going on. But, you know, I'm a cagey veteran, and the show must go on. So I went out. Mark staggered home, and you can hear us. Well, during the next Reasonable Doubt, I will definitely be busting his chops. So you can definitely look forward to that. I had so after that weekend, and after doing five shows, and after getting lit up on tequila, and after leaving to drop Mike off at the Miami airport on Sunday morning, and then having Max Zapata pick me up in the dark parking lot of the hotel I was staying at 5:45 on Monday, and take the hour 45-minute drive to Miami airport and drop off the rental car and get all the merch bags and the equipment bag and all that stuff, and Chris and I schlepping through a crowded airport, I should say. I got on the flight, I sat down in my seat, I had the flight attendant pop the jumper and sit right in front of me, and then moments later, about a half hour later, when they started the drink service. The drink service is, do you want water or do you want Diet Coke? That's the new drink service. And
coast
as
to coast flight?
My middle 5.5 hour flight, as my middle age white male flight attendant was pushing the cart up and down the aisle, he was doing this thing as he was backing it down the aisle, and he was doing the watch your knees, watch your knees. I actually wrote it down. He wrote, watch your knees, watch your knees. Because, you know, as they get more people, and the flight was fairly crowded from Miami to LAX. It was not some of the more Spartan flights I've taken during this whole COVID thing. There's a lot of people. It was about three quarter full. There was a lot of families where all three seats were filled. And then there were some seats with the middle seat empty. But it was, I'll tell you how full the flight was. I went to go put my bag above my seat and it was already full. Like my bin was full. The bins haven't been full in a while. The bins were full. Had to find
a bin. What airline was this?
American.
You're American, yeah.
And they were allowing middle people to sit in the middle seat?
Well, if it's the same family.
They're doing the family in the middle seat.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, Sunday of Thanksgiving week. It makes sense.
So the flight was fairly full, and the guy's backing the cart out, and the seats are getting smaller, and people are getting bigger. I mean, people are getting fat, but they're also just big. I mean, just dudes are big, you know? And there was a big dude sitting in the aisle behind me. And as the guy was rolling, the flight attendant was rolling the cart back, saying, watch your knees, watch your knees. He was like, he was doing it like a garbage truck backing up with a beeper. You know, he wasn't really telling specific people. He was just going, watch your knees, watch your knees, watch your knees. He's backing up. I heard a guy say, excuse me. And the flight attendant went, yeah, watch your knees. And he went, excuse me. And the flight attendant's like, what? And he said, say excuse me.
Oh, wow. God.
Who has this kind of time? Why is he locked on a fucking plane?
A angry black man who was probably weaponized during all the political shit that's going on over the last several months in this country. And he's like, you don't tell me to move my knees. You respect me. And you tell me. Now, of course, the guy had all the context in the world. He was telling everyone move their knees. But this guy.
So I can serve you.
Yeah. So well, it's a public service announcement.
But what if you were convinced that you had a target on your back and that we lived in an oppressive state where there was systemic racism and you needed to be respected and people were going after you because of the color of your skin? This is the super dangerous part about this never-ending message. You will find this. You can find some form of oppression or racism in move your knees. or watch your knees. And then the guy, the poor flight attendant, had to make a decision. Now, if that were me, I would have been pepper sprayed and then thrown off the airplane.
While I was in the air.
Yes. This guy had to make a decision. Do I tell this guy who's kind of out of line, sorry? And by the way, flight attendants, they ain't your friend anymore. They're just all business now. The 9/11 got them halfway to the finish line, and COVID got them home. Like, we're no longer here to smile or be your friend or accommodate you. It's all about safety and making sure you have your mask up and blah, 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 blah. Yeah,
it's hall monitor.
Yes.
Get this right, people. We are not friends. We are not friends.
They are not. This guy had to make a decision. Do I tell him what I would tell Gina Grad or Brian Bishop or Adam Carolla? Or do I just apologize to him so I don't get fucking lit up on Twitter when we land? Or
path
I don't.
Path of least resistance.
Fucking story doesn't end up being something it wasn't on The View, you know, some kind of racism or whatever's going on. So the flight attendant just apologized. And I realized, all right, you didn't do the black guy any favors because this guy's essentially unemployable with this attitude. But also, what I've always kind of said is, for every white racist, there's 10 white guys just wanting it to go away. Just whatever. I will bend over backwards. I will tell you anything you want to hear. I don't want the trouble. Not in this climate. And if you are the recipient of that behavior, then it's going to affect you. I mean, that guy, the big brother, he knew he could say that. I mean, he was emboldened by our current climate. There was a reason he said it. There was a reason why I've never heard it on a flight before, but now I did. Like, he knows that this guy is going to have to bow to him.
He's not going to be shouted down in the aisle.
No, he is not, because someone's going to start filming it with their phone, and then they're just going to put it out there, and it's going to have a complete context, and all the media and all the dumb people are going to go race. They're going to rush right to racism.
Right. Look how racist the slightest was.
Right. So he just had to fucking eat it. And then 10 seconds later, he yelled at me because my mask was around my mouth, but not my nose.
He was taking it out of you.
That's right.
Yeah, he had to let it out somewhere.
So I was just like, oh, thank God at the very beginning of this 5.5-hour flight, I have to hear this fucking exchange 9 inches behind me. This is awesome. And also, you're going to be on the flight with the fucking guy for another 5 hours and 10 minutes. I'm talking about the brother to the flight attendant. Do you really want it? Is this the relationship you want with this guy? Maybe you want another sack of corn nuts at some point, you know?
He hasn't even delivered the Lunchables yet.
I know. Who the fuck? It's such a weird life. Oh, it's not a life strategy, but it is a weird way that people go through life. Yes, Gina.
Two questions. One follow-up with that. Did you end up hearing the guy with the drink cart? Did he end up saying, excuse me, all the way down the aisle? Or did he go back to his...
No, just to watch your knees. I mean, everyone is so big now that their knees are slopping out into the aisle. And the cart gives you about 1.25 inches leeway to the right and to the left. Yeah. But there's not much there. If your knees are hanging, you're going to get a piece of sharp aluminum corner in the kneecap. And if you think about it, you have to also think about it. Like, people are done with intentions. You know, they're done with intentions. Like, what is the flight attendant doing? He's trying to prevent you from him bashing his cart into your kneecap. That's what he's doing. What's his intent? Well, his intent is to not inflict any pain or harm on your left leg as it hangs out. Yeah, that's his intention. So why, just coming from that, and he's trying to do his goddamn job. Like, he's trying to get, you know, 113 people their Fresca. So what do we need to stop him at this point and correct him? And do you think he feels corrected, or do you think he's now angry at you and not saying anything?
Yeah.
That's the weird thing, because the insistence on, that's what's weird about the insistence on, excuse me, watch your knees is not particularly rude. It's curt, but he's got a job to do. He's in a hurry.
Well, and he has to say it 80 times throughout the course of his cart travels. What was your other question, Gina?
Because I've I've almost come to tears a few times in frustration trying to figure out how in the hell I am supposed to have even a tiny little simple little wedding get together ceremony on any level at this point, and not just say fuck it and go to the tuxedo rental / marriage license / accounting firm on the corner in the valley, because that's how they roll. What was this wedding like? Because that's not happening for the foreseeable future in this county.
Well, it was in Florida. It was out in the backyard of a beach house that just sort of led right out into the water. So that was really nice. I don't think I saw a mask. Did you see a mask?
Just some of the people working it were wearing masks. I think now if you wear masks, at least in Florida, you look like you work there. Because I remember I went and ordered a drink with a mask on, and somebody asked me, like, oh, where's the bathroom? Do you work here? Because, if you wear a mask.
It wasn't the mask, Chris.
They handed you their keys.
You just look like an employee. So all the employees were wearing masks.
And was it how many people, you think?
50?
How many? Yes.
Yeah, 50.
About 50 people. Could have been 55. There were zero masks amongst the attendees of the wedding. And masks, I guess, with the staff. I didn't even notice that, but yeah.
Well, it was very relaxed anyway because it was beach casual.
Beach casual. That's the other thing, too. I didn't read the memo. I packed a fucking black suit and boots that I just carried with me the entire fucking trip.
You were supposed to go full Crockett and Tubbs for a Miami wedding.
I know.
I
spaced out. So,
Good to know.
So go to Florida. You do whatever you want, I guess. There didn't seem to be anybody telling anyone otherwise.
It's a different world over there.
Yeah, it must be.
Love to, when I picked up Adam to go to the wedding, he was just wearing a t-shirt, a hat, and shorts. And I'm thinking, all right, he's taking this beach casual thing maybe a little too far. And turns out he got locked outside of his room. And then he proceeds to throw me his key card, and Kaylin has a picture of it. And he's like, this is what I took out when I went on my walk. And it looked like the key card, but if you turn it around, which Kaylin, it just says, good for one beach pool towel. So it's just a coupon.
Oh, that's weak.
Yeah, and it was in the same thing as his key card, so he just took that.
You can't do that.
The key cards are plastic. They're all the same shape as every key card is. And included in the key card little cardboard pouch is the good for redemption of one towel thing. So, and it's got a picture of like a pelican and a resort and an island on it. So when I'm leaving, I just grab the key card.
That looks like a key card.
But it's not the key card.
Key card.
Sorry for throwing it at you.
I don't blame
you. Was everyone who ran this hotel Muslim, or am I reading that card wrong?
I don't know.
Didn't it say like Islamorama?
Islamadora.
Oh, no, that's where it was. It's Isla Madora.
It looks like one word.
Yeah, Isla Morada. I don't know which pronounce, but that's just what the place is called. Island. Isla Morada, sure.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like Isla Morada.
That looks like something else.
Yeah, Isla Morada is, that's that 80s all-girl Muslim band.
That's right.
Who sing, it's a Shiite Summer, I think was their... I can't remember what their hit was. What was it, Shiite Summer? It's a Shiite Summer, now that you're gone. We're not going to let you drive or read. It's a Shiite Summer, don't steal my love, or we'll cut off your hands. It's a Shiite Summer. All right, enough of our tomfoolery. I got much more to talk about, but we'll leave it at that for now. First, we'll tell you about Tommy John. Black Friday, sales coming up. You want to fight all the cold out there. Loungewear, pajamas, and bras. You go with Tommy John. I'm wearing my Tommy John. I'll call them sweats. I'm wearing the undershirt now. I'm wearing the underpants. It is now cooled off to the point where I can don the Tommy John loungewear, and it is so good. They do pajamas, they do underwear, come in limited edition sets, perfect for gifting. They will sell out quick, so order quickly, please. I jumped in my freezing cold pool this morning, and I got out, and I got right into my Tommy John loungewear, and it felt so good. I wore it to work. No risk with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guarantee. It's Tommy John, right, Doss?
Shop Tommy John's Black Friday sale right now to make sure your gifts arrive by the holidays. Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 25%. Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off site-wide. Get 20% off for a limited time at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right. We should take ourselves a quick break and come back, and we'll do the news with Gina and Bald right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So a couple interesting things going on. The first one in on White House Watch. Monday, the administrator of the General Services Administration, seems very, very vague, but that's what they're called, officially designated Joe Biden as the apparent victor of the presidential election. And though President Trump has allowed the certain transition teams to move forward and get access to things, he's still indicating that he believes the election was rigged. But he's doubling down in such an odd and yet entertaining way for us, because he spent Tuesday morning retweeting Randy Quaid tweets.
Really?
I have some for you. Some were videos.
It's not just a tweet, Adam.
No, some are calm. Here's one. And they're not recent either, at least the video. But in one, this is from November 20th, Randy Quaid said, "Never underestimate the greatest president this country has ever had. Trump is an astonishing man of the people, fighting for all of us, not Big Pharma. America first, KAG. Keep America great, I think. Trump, Pence 2020, stop the steal 2020. Trump replied, said, "Thank you, Randy, working hard to clean up the stench of the 2020 election hoax. And then Twitter writes, "This claim about election fraud is disputed." There was a lot of back and forth with Randy and Donald. And there were some videos that I don't think are new. I think they're from at least a year ago. Here's one that President Trump retweeted. Now, it's a tight shot of Randy's face with a blinking red and green light. This is the video.
That's some Kubrick shit.
"Fox News daytime ratings have completely collapsed. Weekend daytime, even worse. Very sad to watch this happen."
This is the best part.
"But they forgot the weather." "They forgot what made them successful. What got them there?"
Is he trying to do an accent?
"They forgot the golden goose. The only difference between the 2016 election and 2020 is Fox News."
So that was one of them.
He can do
Tessa.
I know he's in exile and Canada somewhere, but he could still do VO work, couldn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think he should probably stay a little out of sight, because I think the government would very much like him back. But
would we like him back?
Well, the government would, because I think they have some unfinished business, like a break-in. Wasn't there like a break-in?
I don't know.
It's hard to keep up.
So there's another, I didn't pull it, but there's another one where he's on stage sitting backwards in a chair and does this like 3-minute poem about Trump and about Lilliputians. And you know what my one takeaway was? He's a really good actor.
He did
this incredible poem about the burning of the world, and I was intrigued and enthralled.
He definitely emotes.
Yes.
That much we got. Well, I get it. He's nuts. And all I have to do is say something nice about Trump and he'll retweet it. That's the key. That's how you get Trump to do the retweet. Just say he's a great president, okay, or he's robbed, and he will definitely retweet that shit. Yeah, all right, what else we got?
It's a social experiment. So another social experiment that is really interesting, Dave Chappelle has released a new stand-up segment on social media, just watched it this morning, called Unforgivable. It covers all the ways people and networks have stolen from him and cheated him throughout the years of his career. He said he started when he was 14. He tells the story about how a guy stole one of his jokes and said, "I could just take it from you," and intimidated him. Then how he got, sort of taken for a ride and three-card Monty in Manhattan, and all of these ways he's
that
been
one's on him.
Yeah.
Well, it just in examples of him, like learning these life lessons. And in that one, the guy grabbed him when he figured out the trick and said, "Never come between a man and his next meal." And he said that really stuck with him. And then toward the end, like I said, it's almost 20 minutes. He talks about how companies like Netflix and Comedy Central and HBO have sort of given him raw deals and bad contracts throughout the years. And one example he gave was how Chappelle's Show started streaming on Netflix, which I was thrilled about and watched a bunch of them. Apparently, that was not cool. So he called Netflix and told, like, asked them, "This makes me feel bad," he said to them. "It makes me feel bad that you put this up because I don't get paid for this content being on Netflix." And they took it down. And he thought that was so wonderful and such a great courtesy. So now he's going forward and he says, "I'm asking you, the person who watches me, my boss, you, my boss, the listeners and the watchers and the appreciators out there, don't watch the Chappelle Show because I'm not getting paid for it. I'm asking you to boycott me." So this is the last minute and a half of this long monologue performance where he calls out Comedy Central and a few other networks, and this is the end.
"No one's in the hot dogs you eat. Now, there's probably a bunch of people at Comedy Central and Viacom and all these places that have no idea what I'm talking about. They've all either quit or been fired or got Me Too'd or something. Them niggas is gone. And there's a whole bunch of new young people there, and they're probably looking like, what is he talking about? They may not actually know what the fuck happened to me. So I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Go downstairs to your accounting department, open the books, see what that show made, and look at what you paid me. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You're going to pay me. I am inviting you to come with me and work with me. And let's fight against that terrible, terrible feeling that you made me feel together. We can fight together and work this thing with Chappelle Show out. Or I can just take it. Thank you."
I got
to
tell you.
I think I referred to it real quick. I think I referred to it as Unforgivable. It's Unforgiven.
Isn't that a Clint Eastwood movie? What
it,
he got a $100 million Netflix deal. I'm trying to think of what his $50 million.
Oh, he loves Netflix.
He got an absurd amount of money. He got absurd amount of money from Comedy Central. So there are a couple thoughts. One is unfortunately this shit comes with the territory. Like, me and Jimmy invented the Man Show. We don't own the Man Show. That's the shit that goes on in this business now.
And he talks about that kind of thing.
You can go, well, that's not right. But you can also go, well, we ended up making millions of dollars and we're on their platform. You know, like, I don't think it's a fine line, which is you go, Comedy Central screwed me. Well, Comedy Central gave you millions of dollars and also made you a star. So it's not all bad. This is kind of baked into the cake. You know, whoever works for Dow Corning, who comes up with the new contact lens solution that makes Dow Corning $10 billion, they were being paid by Dow Corning $71,000 a year when they came up with that, and they don't own it. You know, and you could kind of go, well, that's not right. And you go, okay, well, maybe it isn't right, but then you need to build your own platform. Like, you need to build your own Comedy Central and own everything. And it's a lot of gray area, because there's flat out cases of just being ripped off. Mm-hmm. And then there are cases of, you know, it's like our manager was a producer on The Man Show. When they did season 5 of The Man Show, Jimmy and I didn't get paid. Our manager got paid because he was a producer. And it's a bunch of shit where you're like, ugh, that's not fair. But it's like, that is, unfortunately, it's really baked into the capitalism cake. That's where we're at. And you try to arm yourself, get good people on your side, get lawyers, read contracts, and all that kind of shit. The more juice you have, the less you're going to get ripped off. But the beginning, you know, ask any blues singer or ask any, you know, any, I don't know, ask Taylor Swift and Scooter Braun. I learned that from TMZ.
Sorry. You.
Yes, right.
Well, a good comparison is, at least in this case, and I imagine it applies to a lot of cases, is like in the NFL, right? You play under a rookie, unless you're a first-round pick, top 10 pick, you play under that rookie contract, you know, for 3 years. Let's say you kick ass. You're not being paid what you're worth, but you're being paid what the contract you signed. And then at the end of that 3 years, when you're a stud in the league and you're underpaid, you either get that money from your team or you're a free agent. You get that money somewhere else. But you know the market will eventually meet where your skill level is. But if you sign that rookie contract, which you have to, that's what you're going to get paid no matter if you outperform or not.
Right.
And sometimes they'll renegotiate. You know what I'm saying?
And the team pays the rookie minimum to a guy who may lead the league in rushing his second year, but also think about all the guys who signed a then multi-million dollar contract and got injured or were bust, that the team completely takes a bath on that one. So
the Jamarcus Russell phenomenon.
Yes, there's a lot of yin and yang. I will say this about Chappelle. He's starting to border on Lenny Bruce territory, which is Bruce. Like he is so transcend comedy now that he's now just sitting up there pulling up a chair and talking. Yeah. And also
airing grievances.
He's a multi-million dollar. Oh yeah. His deal was reportedly $20 million per special and his release 5 specials. All right, so that gets us to $100 million.
Remember, he's not traveling for this. Talk about building your own platform. He's doing this on his own property, on a stage in his backyard in Ohio.
I'm just saying there is a little. We're getting into a little danger zone where I feel Chappelle should get back and get into more jokes and a little less or stories, but I don't know. Again, we're getting into some dangerous water. That's the way I feel about it. All right, let me hit meter here. Holidays are now here. People are hanging out. Now you got to cook at home because there's no more eating outside at a restaurant if you're out here in Los Angeles for sure. It's a Bluetooth meat thermometer that keeps an eye on your holiday foods and lets you know when it's ready. There's a probe. It's got 2 temperature sensors along with the meter app. Gives you a countdown on your phone. So you don't have to stand over the grill and get the big plume of smoke or any of that. You just, yes.
I can't believe you're doing an ad for meter. I've had a meter for years. I love it. It is a must-own barbecue tool. I literally use it every time I cook.
Oh, good. Well, there it's you awesome. Go. That's what you call a testimonial, people.
I've had this thing for years. I love it.
The grill, the smoker, oven, sous vide, cooking, air fryer, rotisserie. It's all perfect. And so says me and so says Bald Brian. It's a perfect tool for cooking. And by the way, makes a great gift. So why don't you get involved there? 15% off with the code ACS at meter.com, right, Dawson?
Get 15% off with code ACS at meater.com. 15% off when you use code ACS at meter.com. Let Meter help you make your holiday meals absolutely perfect.
I talked to Dr. Drew today, speaking of outdoor eating. I went to the Chinese food place that was near my house last night, and all their big tents. This is a really nice restaurant with big banquet booths and live music and a really good place to go eat. Great atmosphere. And it was meticulously maintained. Never spot of mushu sauce on the floor. They had then constructed this giant tent in their parking lots, and then they moved everyone out into these tents and this outdoor patio area. And when I went there last night, the whole place was torn apart, and there was just like tape everywhere. And inside the restaurant, it just looked like somebody lit off a bomb. It was like furniture stacked this way, used that way as like a blockade. The whole place was just turned over. The tent was gone. The parking lot, all the patio stuff was all taken apart. There was like tape on the ground with arrows, you know, in and out. And all anyone could do was stand in line and pick up their Chinese food to eat at home indoors. And then I was talking to Dr. Drew about this. earlier today, and I said, what is going on with the outdoor dining? I thought this was the solution. Is there some big transmission from outdoor dining? And he's like, no, there's nothing.
3%
they're just
out of 100%.
They just decided to do it. It's like, why? Why would they do that? And it's like, I don't know. I don't know what they're based. They're not basing it on anything. They're just doing it. So these fucking beleaguered restaurants that already were spending tons of money that they didn't have, putting up tents and lucite barriers and spreading shit around or putting up their hedge on the sidewalk and then putting the canopy and doing all the thousands of dollars they all spent, they now have to all tear it down?
That's insane.
Based on an insane woman who wasn't voted in, Barbara Ferrer, who's not a doctor, or certainly not a physician, not an infectious disease. Just there's a handful of nut jobs that are just calling policy for the entire state. Yes, Brian.
I actually read the article, and it's even more infuriating than that. I hesitate to even tell you, but it's something. I'm going to get the number exactly wrong, but it's something like out of the 2,500 cases that they can trace back to restaurants, to restaurants where people are actually dining there, something like 2,488. That's like all but 12 are traced back to the staff because they're inside. They're inside the kitchen. They're in a place where they're exchanging the air. They're not outside.
What is going on? Why are we putting up with it? And Dr. Drew was saying that, now, doesn't this sound nice? I think I'll paraphrase, but he's saying a group of people from MIT, from JPL. Maybe it was Caltech or JPL. I can't remember, or both or something. They're going to put together like a blue ribbon panel to study things and then figure out whether we should do them or not. I think the council of L.A. and Garcetti and Gavin Newsom are saying, no, thanks. But we have
smartest people in the state.
Yes, we have one nutty witch who's just like setting policy for everyone in these poor restaurants. I don't know why they do it. I would just defy the government and say, fuck it. But I also realized I came up with this theory, which Dr. Drew approved of. So I keep saying why. You know, the government tells you move out to the parking lot. Through great effort and expense, you construct all these tents and do all the stuff and you comply with everything and you move out to the parking lot and then they change their mind and tell you to tear it all down on the eve of Thanksgiving and all the meals you could be selling and as if things weren't hard enough, not being able to go inside. Fine. So why? Why are they complying? Like why is there just a big mass uprising where people own restaurants just go, fuck you, Garcetti. Fuck you, mayor. We're just governor. We're just going to do whatever we want. You know what I was saying to Drew? If you are a business and you're a small business and your business involves food, your restaurant in Los Angeles, you have to go through so much red tape. You have to get so many certificates. There's all the health inspectors and building and safety and all the employee shit and all the stuff. Your relationship is so tenuous. You've had to do so much compliance. You just comply, 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 that the bridge from all the crazy overregulation that we've always talked about in Los Angeles County, the bridge to get from there to we will just shut your ass down is a small bridge now. There's not much of a bridge. If you think about it, right, look at, let's just pretend this is Texas, 1957. And you tell every restaurant, sorry, shut it down. They're going to go, fuck you. That would be fuck you because they didn't get the bridge built. If you went to Los Angeles in 1957, they would say fuck you because they didn't build the bridge. There's so much overreach. There's so much bureaucracy. There's so much regulation. There's so many hoops to jump through and there's so many certificates to earn and so many people not to get on the wrong side of that by the time you get there, you're like a fucking battered wife. You just don't want to deal with it.
You don't want to upset them.
because there's no way they would get from this crazy fucking witch, Barbara Ferrer, telling everyone to shut it down. If you tried that in the 50s, everyone just go, fuck you, and I'll be on the roof with my gun. That's where we would be in the 50s. But they fucking worked people so hard to the body for so many years with so much regulation that they're just in compliance mode. They're now in broken populist mode. They're broken. They're like, yeah, fuck it. We got to do what they tell us to do. If they told them to drop and give them 25 push-ups, they would just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
And guess how many people this is going to affect? Because I have the number.
All right, let's hear it.
On the about approximately how many people are screwed because of these restaurants shutting down in LA County?
I have no idea.
That's just, there's got to be a million restaurants in LA.
750,000 people.
Right, but according,
and that includes. That, I mean, people don't realize the reach of a restaurant, you know, the produce people and all that food that's just going to go bad and go to waste. It's insane.
Well, it's not nuts. Evidently, for Dr. Drew told me, Pasadena just went fuck off. Mm-hmm. We're just staying.
Pasadena and Long Beach.
All right. Everybody should just stay open. Why are you listening to these fucking people? How many times do I have to say this? There's something wrong with them. It's established. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Just stay open. What are you going to do? What if everyone said, we're never going to pay another parking ticket? Do you think they could enforce that? Do you think it's possible? They can't enforce any of this stuff. See what they do in Pasadena. They're not going to do anything. They can't do anything. When they tell the fucking sheriffs, hey, once you enforce these family gatherings for Thanksgiving, the sheriffs go, nah. And then that's it. There's nothing they can do.
That's right.
I don't
know. All the Riverside, LA County, Orange County, San Bernardino, all the sheriffs said no. And made an extra bonus point saying, you don't think that the population hates us enough right now after all the riots and the looting? And now you want us to shake them down on the street for not wearing a mask? You're insane.
Well, the good people need to rise up and a little civil disobedience. Hey, remember the bumper stickers? I think the bumper stickers I used to read, I think during the Bush administration, which is dissent is patriotic.
Oh, yeah.
I used to see a lot of those. They all went away when Obama got in office. But when Bush was in office.
Off when Trump came in.
Yes. Dissent is patriotic. Okay. Well, there you go. Let's be patriots, shall we? Just sad. Sad to see everyone at this local restaurant having to hustle around and knock everything over to take everything down and blah. All right, Gina, sorry.
Well, let's talk about something a little uplifting because I think we need it. Spike Lee has signed on to helm a musical movie about the origin of Viagra.
Wow.
And that is not a joke. I really had to check a couple of sources on this. He made this emailed statement to Deadline. He waxed poetic about this upcoming musical project. It was really long email, so I just grabbed a couple of sentences from it. This is the email he wrote. He said, I thank my late mother for, as she would say, taking my narrow, rusty behind, dragging, kicking and screaming to the movies when I was a nappy headed kid growing up in the streets of the People's Republic of Brooklyn. I did not want to see corny people singing and dancing. Thank you, Lottie. She didn't listen to my ongoing complaints about musicals. So finally, going into my fourth decade as a filmmaker, I will be directing a dancing, all singing musical, Spike Lee joint, and I can't wait. And dat's the Rodgers and Hammerstein truth, Ruth.
Well, you can no longer say anything's a bad idea anymore because we've heard every idea, and the ones you think are the worst oftentimes end up being the best, and the good ideas don't seem to pan out. So you can never, we'll have to just wait.
Yeah.
Wait and see.
Yeah, if like Lin-Manuel Miranda's involved, I'll fucking check it out. Like,
well,
I doubt Spike's writing the music.
That's a great point, Brian, because I was just going to say, and I think I've said this before, when my friend who's on the inside, knows all the Broadway people, works in the industry, told me there was a musical in rehearsal at the time about like a rap musical about Hamilton. I texted him and said, that sounds like the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And he said, no, it's getting really good reviews. I was like, okay, that sounds stupid. And I was clearly wrong. So is this the next one? Maybe.
I read that R. Kelly was going to do all the music.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
That is controversial.
Controversial. Is he in jail or in prison?
I think he's in custody still, right? Yeah,
Gary says yes. Gary must be on Black Twitter or something. Gary's got his fucking ear to the urban ground. He probably knows that guy on my American flight who yelled at the flight attendant. All right, sorry. Young Money, Cash Money knows.
That's right.
Apparently, music's being done by Stu Stewart and Heidi Rodewald.
I knew it.
Really, my ignorance. I don't know anything about these people. They run a Tony. So,
all right.
Okay. So, speaking of prison, Harvey Weinstein is spending all of his time in front of cameras again, according to TMZ. The convicted rapist has cameras recording his every move so he doesn't go the way of Jeffrey Epstein,
who
we still say allegedly killed himself behind bars. Sources say that beside the regular surveillance cameras, a correctional officer is assigned to follow Weinstein wherever he goes in this correctional facility in upstate New York.
This is cruel and unusual. And I'll tell you why. Well, it's definitely unusual.
Yes.
When you're Weinstein and you're in prison, all you got is your spank bank and your junk.
And your ficus.
That's all you got. That's all you got. That's all you got in prison is beating off.
Yep.
What else is that?
Yes, for a fern to be brought in.
Yes. I mean, that's all he has.
He doesn't mind an audience from what we know.
Yeah, I feel like, boss, the big boss man is probably not as inspirational as
one of the starlets.
It's a young starlet.
Did you mean the actual wrestler, the big boss man?
Fuck yes, I did.
Put it up. Put him up.
Put a picture up, and you'll know why this man,
nice,
meaning Adam Carolla, deserves an award. Because as Brian knows, I've sort of rudimentary understanding of 80s, 90s pro wrestling.
That's a good pull.
I don't know all the characters, but I did a deep pull to try to think of a guy in a prison guard's or sheriff's outfit that would be your worst inspiration for beating off.
He had a flat top and a goatee. He's the perfect example.
Yeah.
Yeah, there he is.
Imagine that guy staring at you. He's pointing at Big Boss Man on his lapel, on his pocket of his prison outfit. He's holding that fucking nightstick, and he's just staring at you with those crazed eyes the whole time.
He has a motorcycle jacket.
He's
the Big Boss Man.
I don't remember him, and I know a lot about 80s wrestling. I don't remember him.
He maybe came out around like 1990-ish.
Oh, that's great.
I don't even know. He's the Big Boss Man, but he's got a leather motorcycle jacket.
Yeah.
So what is he? Is he a motorcycle cop?
He's private security.
Oh, is that
no, he goes under deep cover.
Yeah, I'm saying that is a boner killer. Big Boss Man staring at you when you try to peel one off? No, thank you.
All right, Chris, now we need a side-by-side because I got to put it to these guys. Big Boss Man or Bam Bam Bigelow?
I love Bam Bam, but for
whacking it.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but Bam Bam would be a disaster to beat off to. There's no doubt. And so would The Undertaker and all of them.
The Junkyard Dog.
They'd all be
just going to say, don't forget the Junkyard Dog.
Fabulous Moolah.
There was, the only female to make the list.
Even she would be a tough squeeze. But the reason
who did the Honky Tonk Man represent?
Nashville. All these guys would be a disaster to beat off in front of. I just picked the Big Boss Man because he's wearing half a prison guard outfit.
That's right.
I gave him some context.
He actually was a corrections officer.
He was a corrections officer.
Yeah, so that's who the character's based off of.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
You're too good.
I've never felt more vindicated. Wait till I go home and tell everybody. Guess what happened? Guess what? You know the Big Boss Man? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, he was a 90s. We can look him up. All right, but you know Weinstein?
What are you talking about?
This would be the perfect story of no one giving two fucking shits about it. But you understand, I'm clairvoyant over here because I picked the Big Boss Man, and he used to be a correctionals officer. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's going to come across. All right, let me hit LIDS here. Need perfect gifts this season? LIDS has them. Officially licensed sports gear, and I also have iconic brands like Nike, Adidas, and Champion. LIDS is North America's largest hat retailer. They make great hats. Well, it's all the official stuff. Visit any Lids store. And, I got my Lids. Oh, I got my L.A. Rams Lids hat here. Good. And you can find, Associate will help you find the perfect cap for anyone on your holiday list. Lids is the leader in headwear, including all authentic MLB on-field caps, NFL sideline caps, knits, all the stuff the pros wear. You can get it as well, all the varieties, all the colors, and all the exclusives. Visit blog.lids.com/Adam for 25% off your next in-store purchase. That is blog.lids.com/Adam. Perfect gift is waiting, right, Dawson?
Visit blog.lids.com/Adam for your 25% off coupon on your next in-store purchase.
All right, Gina, what else we got?
Well, let's stay on the prison tip for a second, because this would be a very good time for Weinstein to reach out to Kim Kardashian, because she is back at it again. She's finding her life's work in trying to get the wrongly imprisoned out. And remember, she did that with persuading President Trump to release Alice Marie Johnson from a life sentence. Now she's throwing her weight behind this case in Oklahoma of a man named Julius Jones, who's on death row for a murder he insists he didn't commit. Kim met with Jones on Monday and promised to aid his fight for clemency in any way she can. He's convicted of first-degree murder in 2002, but claims he got a shoddy defense and that the prosecution's case was thin. So he is the new case that Kim K is taking up.
Can I ask an ignorant question? Does Kim Kardashian require any other evidence of innocence besides, I swear I didn't do it and I have a bad defense?
Well, I will answer that for you in the best way I can. So she's not just randomly doing this. She is going, and I'm sure Garrigus can explain more about this, but she is a law student now.
Not Saturday, he couldn't have.
No, today he couldn't have answered my name.
He was disbarred for 24 hours.
But she is, it's not like, this isn't just like something she took up on Pinterest. She is a law student, and she's part of, you know, one of a clemency project. So she's not doing this completely alone. So I would imagine, you know, the rest of the students and the staff they have picked this case for a reason.
They got to vet these people because, yes, I was set up. I'm an innocent man. I had a horrible lawyer. Well, by the way, everybody who gets life in prison or the death penalty had a horrible lawyer de facto in their mind.
That's right.
I don't care if you fucking have F. Lee Bailey on your shit. Yes. Yeah, if you end up on death row, then you go, guess who had a horrible lawyer?
Scott Peterson?
Right, yeah. Scott Peterson.
We get it.
Although he's going to get out.
Well, was he not on death row, or am I just completely making that up?
There was controversy about death row and the jury, and part of the thing that I'm trying to comb through my memory here is part of the jury selection involved people. They have to ask people, would you sentence someone to death or not? Because if it's a death penalty case, and you won't, then, and you're against the death penalty, then we can't have you in the jury pool. Something about that selection that ended up sort of tainting the trial, and that's where Mark's sort of resting his hopes. But yeah, I think he got a death sentence. But getting a death sentence in California, I mean, you know. I mean, look no further than Charles Manson. Yeah, it got overturned, right? But he did get the death sentence, according to Young Money, Cash Money over here.
Uh-huh. Well, there is, yeah.
And then Newsom put a stay on all the death, you know, all the executions. You're not going to get, it's kind of academic, I guess, if you get the death sentence in California, although Mark could probably tell me why I was wrong. Not Saturday. Definitely not Saturday, but today.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Scott Peterson, it's great that you brought him up, because I forgot to tell you this broke right as we were starting. So I don't have all the information in front of me. But Mark could sue on Scott's behalf for another completely unrelated reason. So a California prosecutor, this is from ABC7, says someone has filed unemployment claims in the name of convicted murderers Scott Peterson and a few others. And they've done this among thousands of inmates. So Sacramento County District Attorney Anne Marie Schubert says at least 35,000 unemployment claims were made on behalf of prison inmates between March and August. And guess how many of those were paid out? $140 million worth, if
Jesus
we're talking about
Christ.
The organizational ability of this state. 140 million of those have been paid out. At least 158 claims have been filed for 133 inmates on death row, Scott Peterson being one of them. And remember, we talked about that dude, that guy who goes by Nuke Bizzle, mm-hmm. who not only defrauded the government, but then rapped about it.
Oh, yeah. Said, oh, right.
Some people sell cocaine. I just file a claim.
Right. That so was a California thing.
Right. So this is who we're putting our trust in when it comes to open the restaurants, close the restaurants.
Well, Jesus Christ. I know. Like, first off, what do they touch that they don't fuck up? These settlements, bullet trains. Like, why should we be so exquisitely confident in the leadership here in California and Los Angeles? I think Mark would pick up this case, but he's right now knee deep in a class action lawsuit against the Don Julio estate. So.
Overserved.
Overserved. He said the bottle was too tall and it poured too easily.
He's suing the pink elephants who danced on his head.
That's right. All right, let's bring it home, Gina.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Simply Safe break-ins on the rise during the holiday, and that's why you need Simply Safe. You get 40% off any system and a free security camera as well. Again, get the 40% off plus free security camera. And just go to simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. We're going to do a stereo app, right? We're going to do some live questions.
Yeah, you and me are going to get in stereo. We're going to take some live questions to those listening in, and you're going to just answer anything they ask you.
All right. So we will bid adieu to Bald and Gina, and we'll be right back after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.